Okay, if you would please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 2. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. So far we have seen how that God has taken not the religious leaders, not the kings, not the leaders, not the princes, but, simple, faithful man in Zechariah, a barren woman, Mary, Joseph, lowly shepherds. And at this time in the history of Israel, it was pretty dark. Things looked pretty bleak. They were under Roman rule. The word in many of their minds had not come to pass and would not come to pass. Right. You can see that as you read on in the Gospels, some of the thinking that Jesus Christ dealt with among the religious leaders. And yet, in the midst of that, there was a remnant of people. Isn't that something? It's like when Elijah did this incredible, incredible thing, fired down from heaven, you remember? 400 prophets of Baal all day long. And he brings down and he has water poured all over this thing. And then he prays and he calls from fire from heaven. Let him be God. And fire came down and it just licked up everything. And within a very short time, that day, Jezebel committed to kill him and was going to come after him. And nobody came to his defense. Isn't that remarkable? And so Elijah got to the place where he said, I'm done. Take my life. There's nobody but me. And God reveals, I have 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Mm-hmm. I've got people. And that's what you see here. In Zechariah, a faithful priest, even though he had a hard time accepting what the angel said, when the time came and the word was fulfilled and he wrote John, that prophecy was just amazing. It was just amazing. And you got Mary, 13, 14 years old. Be it unto me according to your word. Joseph, culturally, he would face a lifetime of shame from his perspective, from where he sat. And the angel said, look, this is the Christ. Name him Jesus. And take your wife. And he did. Isn't that something? So you see these people, and we're going to continue to see that as we go. How that God, in the midst of just all the noise and everything else that's going on in the world, continues to work. And in these records, we're seeing the first rays of the sunlight that Zechariah prophesied about, of whom his child would be the forerunner. In Luke chapter 1, and just to refresh you, it reads, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our way to the way guide our feet into the way of peace, referring to the Messiah. And in these records, we're seeing like the first rays of that sunlight that he prophesies about, when this burst of light would happen, when Jesus Christ actually began his ministry. Last week we read, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I think you guys know this, but Christ means anointed one. It's a title. Hebrew is Messiah, for Christ. He would be a Savior. That was how he was introduced, this Messiah, the Savior. And while Caesar Augustus was being lauded as the Savior of mankind, the bringer of peace to the earth, the true Savior was born in a little town in Judea, little Bethlehem, and laid in an animal trough. And the saving that he would bring would literally deliver from death to life. It would deliver from darkness to light. It would bring about the very life of God. Isn't that something? We're going to pick it up in verse 21 of Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to go ahead and read this, and then we'll come back. We left off in 20 with the shepherds glorifying and praising God. In verse 21, it says, "At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.' And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for redemption in Jerusalem." In verse 21, it reads, "And at the end of 8 days," and I want to spend just a minute with this, or a couple minutes. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When Gabriel showed himself to Mary before he was conceived in the womb, she was told that you will bear a son and you will call his name Jesus, which means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. Now, this, we saw this with John the Baptist too. The official naming of the child takes place at the circumcision, okay, which was to take place 8 days after the birth according to the law of Moses. So, beginning here in verse 22, which is what we're going to read, we've got Joseph, Mary, and Jesus coming to the temple to bring an offering for her, okay, which I'll explain in a moment. Because I want you to get a picture of what's going on here. It's pretty neat. So they bring him to be circumcised. He is officially named Jesus. Yahweh saves. Verse 22, and when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Okay. Now there's a couple things going on here. What is neat to see is how Joseph and Mary were committed to the law and carrying out, and they were faithful in these things. With a firstborn son, the parents would, they would do what was called redeem the child. They would buy him back from the Lord. This is spelled out in Exodus chapter 13, and the reason for it was to remind them of how God had finally delivered them from the slavery in Egypt, which was by slaying all the firstborn of the Egyptians. And so God says, going forward, with every firstborn male child, you will redeem that child so that in the future, when thy sons say, why do we do this? You may say to them, and then explain how God delivered from Egypt. That was the purpose. So this is why they were at the temple. They were going to redeem or consecrate their son. On the 40th day after the son's birth, the mother would present a sin offering, for which was normal, which would normally be for a lamb. It was a purification offering. And if a family couldn't afford a lamb, allowance would be made for two doves or two pigeons, okay, which is what they brought. Now, in verse 25, it picks up with Simeon. Now, before we get into this, I want to draw a little picture here. Jim and I were talking about this earlier this week, and it's really something both of us sort of pictured. You know, you have Mary and Joseph. They come in, and they've got the child Jesus, and they're consecrating him, and it's kind of just, they're kind of there. They're bringing the baby to somewhere where they're supposed to, and then Simeon knows exactly where to go, and no. This was part of the temple complex. The area where this took place was built to house 6,000 to 7,000 people. This was a place where people went to bring sin offerings, peace offerings. A lot of people went just to hang out because this was the temple. This was a beautiful, beautiful construction. Do you understand? So, and their offering would have been let off before they went in to this court. And it's referred to as the court of women. It doesn't mean it was restricted to women. It just means it was where women could go. So you have this area built for 6,000 to 7,000 people at a time. Okay? So that's what you're picturing. Here is Mary and Joseph, likely not the only couple there, to consecrate a baby. Okay? So we read. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Isn't that beautiful? What a God. Verse 27, and he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, okay, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said. Okay, it was Holy Spirit that revealed to him that he would see the Lord's Christ before he died. And when he went in, he was guided by Holy Spirit. You see. And he went right to Mary and Joseph. See, that's what happened. Now, put yourself in Mary and Joseph's shoes. Okay? Because here they are in this court with you know, a crowd of people. Here they are, and this man walks up to them, and he took the baby, and he took him up in his arms, and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And he's holding the baby up like this. My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. This marveled, you could understand that they marveled with admiring wonder. Now, I don't know all that Mary and Joseph knew about who the Messiah would be or what the Messiah would do. For the most part, the expectation of the Messiah is that they would be the deliverer, he would be the deliverer and the king of Israel and reestablish Israel. You remember the apostles at the day of the ascension? Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Listen to what he's saying. In the presence of all peoples, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And it says they marveled with wonder. This was their child. And Simeon blessed them. So now he's speaking to them. And he blessed them and said to Mary. So he's looking at Mary. Behold, this child is appointed or destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. The word opposed, you could translate this word as refused. As a sign that is opposed or spoken against or refused. For the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And on a more personal note, a sword will pierce your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The incredible honor and grace to bear and parent the Messiah would not be without trial. You can read in John 19, when Jesus Christ was no longer recognizable as a man, had been beaten and tortured for 30-some hours, and was dying on the cross, one of his last acts was to look at the disciple he loved and say, "Make sure make sure his mother was taken care of. Behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." And from that moment forward, for the rest of her life, she lived with that disciple. Now we know the story. We know he got up 3 days and three nights later. And that all of her trial and all of her hurt and all of it was vindicated. But at that time, she didn't know that. At that time, they didn't know that. They were told, but they didn't understand it. They didn't believe it. You know, we're going to see him face to face one day, too. He is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel. Jesus Christ is the dividing line. He is the dividing line. For those who believe on Jesus Christ, he is their salvation. For those who oppose and reject Jesus Christ, he is the stone that crushes. He's the dividing line. Men come up with many dividing lines. There's only one. Those who believe on Jesus Christ, those who do not. And one of our main concerns is to see to it that as many as possible believe on Jesus Christ. Because there is a day coming when he will judge. He will judge. Verse 36, and this is just amazing. And there was a prophetess. Just how God works. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. Faithful woman, devoted. And then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up, and then you have the words, at that very hour. At that very hour means at that moment. You've got Simeon prophesying regarding this child, thanking God that he had seen the Lord's salvation, and then speaking to Mary personally. And then you've got Anna, who happened to walk up at that moment. Isn't that amazing? See, just how God works. This is how he works. And you've got all the hustle and bustle going on in this courtyard in Jerusalem. all the normal stuff. Priests doing their thing, selling in the market, selling lame animals for sacrifice, but in the midst of it all. This is, there's a scripture in Malachi. We read from Malachi. It's Malachi chapter 3. And it prophesies regarding John. But it goes on to say, the one that you are waiting for, the Lord of the covenant, will suddenly come to the temple. Isn't that something? Here he is in the temple. You know, this section of Luke, maybe we'll get there, I don't know. But this section of Luke ends with Jesus, 12 years old, in the temple, confounding the priests with his questions and answers. He will appear suddenly in the temple. Isn't that something? You know, it's just, boy, when you see God's word fulfilled like this, sometimes we get pictures of what it should look like. And it so often doesn't. It so often is just quiet. It's in a humble way. It's in an unexpected way. But it's no less beautiful. So Anna comes in. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Isn't that something? You know, of all the crowds that were likely present at this time, you've got two faithful. And they were likely, at least Anna definitely was, it's very possible Simeon also was quite elderly at this point. See, who knew the promised Christ, who saw him. Isn't that something? I wrote that scripture down. I forgot I'd done it. Let me read it to you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. He's here. And in verse 39 it says, and when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. There was an event that takes place, and I don't think I'm going to read the whole record here, but there is an event that takes place between their fulfilling the law of the Lord here and moving to their hometown of Nazareth. Okay? And you can write this down or turn there if you like. It's in Matthew chapter 2. I'll read some of these verses. I don't know how we're doing on time here. But it says in verse 1 of Matthew 2, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. You know, it's interesting because Matthew emphasizes Jesus as king bringing about the kingdom of God on the earth. Luke emphasizes seeking and saving the lost, which we see all through that record in Luke. You know, the seemingly insignificant, the seemingly low on the totem pole, shepherds, an 84-year-old widow. But it's unto these people that it's revealed. Well, in Matthew, we have these Gentile, called wise men here, magi, coming to worship the King of Israel. Now, this was likely, he was likely at least a year old at this point, could have been a little older than that. Well, let's read it. Herod the king heard this, and he was thrilled that the Messiah had been born. No, he was troubled. He was troubled by this. Again, this is one of those things, you've got to picture it. You've got, and it would have been a large, it wasn't three guys dressed in starlit gowns. It would have been a caravan. And it wasn't three. It was more than three. They had three gifts. That's not the point. The point here is, this is something all of Jerusalem was aware of. So this was pretty big. You've got this caravan coming in from Persia. And it gets to the ears of the king, to Herod. So this is pretty significant, what's going on here. And Herod hears about this. And he's troubled. This doesn't make him happy. So he assembles all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born, and they told him, Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. Look at the spiritual callousness here. Pay attention to this. We all have this in us. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He summons the priests and the scribes. Where is this king? Where's the Messiah to be born? The Messiah, the waited for Messiah. Bethlehem. The word says it, Bethlehem. Why didn't they all jump in their cars and get to Bethlehem? But they didn't. They didn't. Isn't that something? It gives you an idea of the state of Israel at this time. But God's working. He's working. He's bringing it to pass. Now you've got these Gentiles coming in to worship. So Herod summons them, and he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go. Hey, did Herod recognize the authority of the word? Sure did. He sent them to Bethlehem. Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, because I want to come worship him too. And after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place. They saw the star. Verse 11, they went into the house. They opened their treasures. They offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, get out of here, flee to Egypt, remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. And this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Isn't that beautiful? Because Jesus was the true Israel. And just as Israel had been called out of Egypt, so would the true Israel, Jesus. Yeah. You want to keep reading? A couple more verses. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. This was not a quick discussion with these wise men. He inquired, when? When did you see the star? How long have you been traveling? So they would have had an idea of when this child was born. How long it took him. See, and that's how he selected that horrible thing to kill all the children 2 years old and under. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, and Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. Now, after Herod died, an angel appears to Joseph and says, rise. Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. This is when they went to Nazareth, which we read in Luke 39, the second half of that verse. They returned unto Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Isn't that beautiful? But to see, you know, in this record, you have, it is almost an illustration of the Bible story. You have God working in humble people. People who were looking forward to the Messiah. People who believed God. Not the kings, not the princes. And you've got this beautiful thing going on in this world of darkness. False savior, false power centers, all this stuff that's going on. And here's God working, bringing to pass his word in a very wonderful way. Blessing his people as he goes along. You know, how he took care of Mary's heart, Joseph's heart, Anna's heart. You just see it. How he worked at Elizabeth to take care of Mary's heart when she first walked in. Just, it's so beautiful. It's so godly. And then you have Herod, who hated the Christ. Hated the idea that the promised king or Messiah was being born. And in a rage, went on a murderous rampage to try and stop it. But he didn't, did he? No. Because God's word is going to come to pass. This has been going on ever since God promised that it would be the seed of the woman. And this fight has been going on since. When we read these records, and you know, you see some of these things, it's really a joy to the heart. It's a great comfort to the heart to realize that God has won. Jesus Christ conquered. He defeated Satan. Now, he's still got some last kicks for a while, but there's a day coming when that's not going to be anymore. Ha! Isn't that great? See? And it's thinking of those things that, you know, when we read these records, even if we're familiar with them, it just thrills the heart to see how wonderfully and simply God works with his people and in his people to bring his word to pass. And he does the same for each one of us. Even when it seems like all is lost, when it seems like there's no hope, you got nowhere to turn, you don't know what to do, God's faithful. He's absolutely faithful. And we've all been there. And you know what? We'll all be there at some point. But God has these records in his word to teach us and to show us and to encourage us. So, amen? Amen.